So we're ready?
Yes, I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Hello. Okay.
Hello.
Ron here.
Sherry here. Talk to me. Well, talk marathon to me today.
Yeah, no. we're gonna kind of veer off our normal triathlon subjects.
Well, not really, because this is very pertinent to triathletes, we're gonna talk about today.
Yeah, because you wanna talk about, you know, other stuff that you do in
training,
the off season.
Yeah, in the off season. Yeah. As triathletes, you know, we generally know that we can't participate in triathlons in the off season because there really isn't too much to do.
There aren't many, yeah.
So what I do personally, and what I advise the people who I coach to do, especially if they're long distance athletes, is to pick a couple of long runs, long races to do in the off season, and to do at least 2 or 3 century rides, because that's going to keep you training over the holidays, and it's going to keep you focused and keep you improving.
So we're talking mostly about people that are training for half Ironman, full Ironman races.
Well, and it doesn't necessarily have to be for them either. I mean, even if you're an athlete who's getting into, if you're a beginner triathlete, and you're doing the sprint or the Olympic distance, if you can find some 5Ks and some 10Ks to do in the winter, that's going to help you with your racing. A lot of the century bike rides have 25, 50 mile options.
Yeah, they usually have different routes. Yeah.
I just think it's important for me personally to have things that I'm working on in the off season, especially cycling, getting those long miles.
Why especially cycling?
Well, because I think that the more base miles you can get in the off season in cycling, the better once you start tuning up and working on your speed when the race season starts. For me, that seems to work.
What is your strongest event and your weakest event of the triathlon?
You know what my weakest event is, Ron. It's the swim. It's always the swim. Definitely the swim. But I'm going to work on that even more as soon as this marathon's over. I've kind of put that on the back burner right now. I'm doing twice a week. I should be doing it 4 times a week. I should be swimming 4 times a week. I guess it's probably running. And I like to think it's cycling too. And I think cycling can be, this year, after the marathon's over, I'm really going to focus more on my cycling, because I've got, my run is pretty dialed in. My run is good right now. And I think I need to, especially with an Ironman coming up next year, step up the cycling.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I'm coaching that team and training. Anybody interested in team and training? Palm Springs Century.
Yeah. See Sherry.
Fight cancer.
You know, I guess my opinion, and this has really evolved for me over the years, because I hadn't done a century ride until probably 3 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, it was funny because I went out with my pal Lair Dog Larry Davidson, and we did the Palm
Shout
Springs.
Out to Larry.
Yeah,
that's my favorite.
We did the Palm Springs ride, and at the end of the ride, I was telling him, I said, you know what the longest ride that I've ever done is? And he goes, no, what? I said, this one.
Really?
It was the longest ride that
I've
ever done.
How did you like it? How did you like it?
I felt great until about mile 80.
Uh-huh.
And then I just, I was thanking God that after 80 miles, we were coming back into town and there were traffic lights that I could stop at. Because I was dying.
Had you trained for it?
I don't know. I mean, I hadn't set that as a goal and then train for it, because it's really not a race.
It's not a race. And that's what I like about those century rides.
Yeah,
I like the fact that it takes, there's no pressure. I always kind of set some time goals for myself, or, want to do this or that, but it's not a race. And that's what's so fun about it is, it's just no pressure and you don't have those jittery nerves. And that's kind of the same way I am when I do marathons and half marathons. I mean, I'm not trying to get on the podium, because the people that are usually winning those things are runners.
Exactly.
That's all they do is run.
Right.
So, I'm just trying to improve my time and have fun doing it.
Yeah. And that's exactly how I look at those century rides. Although, who you're riding with does make a difference, because we just did, this year we did that race, was it, Mulholland Challenge.
Oh, right, yeah.
And they changed the course on that one, and we set out.
Did you take a wrong turn?
No, that was Quentin and
what's his name?
Quentin and who's the other guy? Really good cyclist. Can't think of his
It'll
name
come
right
back
now.
To you.
But anyway, they took a wrong turn and ended up adding like 5 miles to it. But it was 118 miles with 15,000 feet of climbing.
That's great training for you in your
Kona
year.
You know, it was 8 hours with pedals turning.
Oh, absolutely.
And I was more tired after that than any Ironman
that
I've ever
done. Don't you love it, though?
I
love doing those rides. I do the Breathless Agony.
That's one of my favorites. Yet.
And that's, you know, I showed you here my little outline of some of the options available to all of us athletes next year. I like to kind of get a calendar and start penciling in things that are out there in the future. But that's one of the things I'm thinking about doing is that, what's it called? King of the Mountains?
King of the Mountains, yeah.
Where you do the three century rides.
Yeah.
But you have to look at the big overview and say, does that really fit into my training plan? You know, do I really want to go that heavy on the hills? And
Well, that's key. You know, I mean, you really need to, you know, pick what you're going to do in the off season, you know. Especially if you've got, you know, early season races. If you've got races in March or April,
mm-hmm.
and those are, you know, coming too close to your
right.
your
A
races,
reminder to our listeners
out,
to
yeah.
sign up for the Desert Triathlon, which is in March of 2011. They've changed it now. It's one of the distances on a Saturday and the other one is on Sunday. I'm not sure which.
Oh, is it?
It's
yeah.
not all in one day anymore. Oh, okay. But that does fill up. I think that's why they're spreading it out. So anyway, my I don't want to say it's an issue, but the thing that I thought we could talk about today is just, you know, I'm training for this New York City Marathon. It's actually in 2 weeks, so not a whole lot of anything I do now is going to make much difference. You know, it's the taper is kind
well,
of
unless
the
you
same.
Don't taper. That
not
would
unless
make a big
you don't
difference.
Taper. That would make a bad difference.
That would be bad.
But I was what Ron and I were talking about mm-hmm. earlier is you look at running training plans and they are geared strictly for runners. And as triathletes, it's a bit of a challenge to figure out how exactly to tweak a standard running program coming from a triathlete coach background and say, okay, well, this is how, because, you know, I still want to continue my cross training. I still want to continue the swimming, which I desperately need to do. And, you know, I happen to teach a spin class. So, you know, I'm doing that a couple times a week. So I'm hoping that I got it all configured right.
Yeah, well, you know, you've got lots of options. I mean, you can just drop, you know, if you're training for a marathon, you can just
mm-hmm.
drop the swimming and drop the cycling altogether if you want.
Well, see, for me, I can't just drop the swimming with my eye on qualifying for Kona next year. I can't afford to just not swim for a couple months.
Well, which race are you doing? You're doing Canada next year?
I'm doing Canada. Well, I'm doing the California half
yeah.
in April. And then I'm doing Ironman Canada. My chances of qualifying in Canada are not very good. California
I think
they'd
be half, better at Canada.
I don't know.
Because there's probably only one slot at California
there's
for you.
Only one slot in Canada also.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
oh,
remember, when
okay.
you get to the older gals, there's not a whole
yeah,
lot of, you know, you
true.
Have to come in the very... And, you know, that's part of the reason for, you know, doing these century rides that I've got planned for the off season is I really want to keep my cycling, you know, I want to have a lot of miles under my belt and a lot of hills. And, you know, I've got the marathon coming, but I can't give up the swimming. I have to be in that darn pool at least twice a week
mm.
doing, even if it's today, I just did a recovery swim because I did a run yesterday. And I only swam, you know, 1,200 yards, but half of it was drills because I need to do that. And as soon as the marathon's over, I'm going to swim a lot. I'm going to let them, you know, I'm going to tell the swim coach at the place where I swim that they need to, you know, break me into submission because that's, I think that if you've got your eye on a goal, you have to really be willing to do what it takes if that's what you want. Don't you agree?
Yes. I just think there's a lot of different paths you can take to get there. You know, I don't think there's necessarily just one right one right way. You know, I think, for example, if New York was your goal and it's only 2 weeks away, I think you could stop swimming altogether until after New York,
mm-hmm.
and it wouldn't hurt you a bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion. Cycling too. I don't even think.
Yeah, I haven't been on my bike since the Malibu Triathlon in September.
Yeah, and you're doing spin class.
And
twice
I do
a week
spin
anyway,
class
so,
twice a week.
So
and I figure that the spin class. Now, if I were doing, I'm still doing hill work. I'm still running hills once a week, or once every other week. I do a pretty strong hill workout, but one of the bike workouts on the spin days is a pretty heavy. Power day. So I kind of think of that as, you know, I kind of translate that into like a power or a hill workout on the run.
Right.
And then for the speed, you know, I still do speed work at the track. I don't do anything shorter than 800s. But I think the speed, the intensity that you're doing on a spin bike, that's got to account for something in your run,
oh,
don't you
God,
think?
Yeah, it's very intense. So In your opinion, you know, like you,
right.
What I concentrate on during the off season is more running.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite run is the half marathon.
And you are a runner. You're
well,
a very good
I'm a little
runner.
Bit. I'm a little bit stronger runner than I am a cyclist. That's for sure.
You like the half marathon.
But I
distance.
Love the half marathon because it really, I think, gets you ready for a half Ironman and a full Ironman.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't take you, for example, if I were to run a marathon, mm-hmm. I'd be toast. My legs would be toast for probably 3 weeks
right.
after that.
Right, you've got to have that downtime after a marathon. It
yeah.
beats you up.
I mean, it just, I'd be wasted for, you know,
mm-hmm.
3 weeks after that. But
mm-hmm.
a half marathon, I can recover in about a week,
yeah.
you know. So,
so you can keep training.
I love that distance,
mm-hmm.
and it makes me faster.
Oh, it
I
absolutely
think.
Does.
You know, but so.
So let's tell people some of our favorite half marathons for the off season. My favorite number one is the Huntington Beach Half Marathon. The Surf City is what it's called.
Yeah, I've done that one. I like it. Long Beach was that a week ago?
Yeah,
or
that
2 weeks ago.
I think it was just 1 week ago.
Yeah,
that's supposed to be a real fast. Course.
I enjoy that one. That's
yeah.
fast.
Have you done the Orange County?
This year I did the Orange County Half Marathon and
mm-hmm.
came in second in my age group.
Woo! Where's my cowbell? I need to ring my cowbell. I need to start ringing the cowbell to the podcast.
Yeah, I was pretty thrilled with that because
wow. what was your
I
time?
Don't consider myself to be a runner. You
yes,
know?
You are a runner.
Well, I'm a
you
decent
run.
Runner for a triathlete.
You run, therefore
that's
you're
about
a runner.
It, you know, but yeah, I think that was actually my PR, 132 something.
Whoa, that's
so,
smoking fast.
Yeah, I still haven't broken the 130 mark yet. But
that will qualify you for the New York City Marathon. You know, you can qualify for New York City
with
half marathon.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
Yes, folks.
Yeah,
you heard it straight from me.
Yeah.
You can't Boston, obviously.
Yeah, Boston. You have.
But it's harder to qualify for New York City than it is Boston. The
oh,
qualifying
it?
Times are much harder.
Oh,
for me
know.
To qualify, and now this is going to give away my age, but oh well, you people know me.
We already know.
You already know. You look me up on Athlinks. to qualify for Boston, I have to get, I think, a 3:55.
Okay.
To qualify for New York City, I have to get a 3:38.
Wow.
I'm telling you.
Wow.
I'm telling you, brother.
So where did you qualify for New York?
I qualified for New York at the Huntington Beach Half, at Surf City.
Okay.
136.
Yeah.
That's a pretty fast course.
So what did
course.
You need?
I needed 140.
Okay.
So I had 4 minutes in the bank.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a runner.
I'm a runner. I think I'm a runner. I
you're
like running.
You're really a cyclist first, right? And then a runner?
Well, I think I was a runner first. Yeah, I was a runner first
okay.
and then a cyclist. But I got into triathlons as more of a cyclist. I had kind of put the running aside a little bit.
Yeah.
So
let me ask you then, as far as the volume of training, you know, how in the...
This is what I'm trying to get away with. I'm trying to get away with the least possible number of miles that I can run and do well. You know, I've been very consistent with bumping up the long runs every week, you know, bumping them up 13, 15, 16, 18, 20, you know, I've done my 20 and 22 miles back to back. So, you know, I think I'm good with that. And for instance, you know, on one of my heavier weeks, you know, I would swim on Monday. That would be my recovery day.
Okay. Okay.
Recovery on Monday, I would swim. Then Tuesday morning, I would teach spin. Then in the afternoon, I would do a core and strengthening workout, and I would do an easy recovery run, 4 mile recovery run. Wednesday morning, I would do a track workout. This one week in particular I'm looking at was 6 miles with 4 1200s. Okay. The week before that I did, 8 800s. Tomorrow I'm teaching spin. Wednesday I'm doing 10, my final Yasso 800s. I'm sure you're familiar with those. I'm going to do 10 800s on the track. Anyway, that week, then I did a spin workout on Thursday, easy run Thursday afternoon, just 4 miles, just easy run. And then Friday I would do an 8 mile run with tempo, a tempo run. And then Saturday, take the day off. Sunday, do my long run.
Okay, so that in terms of
that
hours,
was 42 miles that week of
okay.
running.
In terms of hours, what are we looking at? I kind of lost track there. So
hours spent
like,
running?
No, everything.
Oh, everything, that's 10 and a half hours. That's not a lot
for,
of hours.
For running, swimming,
everything.
Strength, spinning, everything.
Yeah, okay. Because you know what's not in there? A long bike ride.
Yeah.
I don't have my long bike rides in there.
Yeah.
I'm saving that for the run. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so
it's
I
not
guess,
a lot of hours.
So in the off season, you're doing, what, 10 to 12 hours a week of training?
Well, that depends. No, actually, it's more than that because I'm doing a long ride every Saturday
mm-hmm.
in the off season, pretty much. You know, I mean, we're only going to start with, I think, a 35-mile ride in November after the marathon. The week after the marathon, I'm just going to do an easy 30 to 35-mile ride the following Saturday because then we've only got however many weeks till the Palm Springs Century.
Yeah.
February 12th, it's a great Valentine's Day weekend. Take your wife to Palm Springs or your girlfriend. Let her hang out by the pool and you do the bike ride.
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
have a fun time.
Yeah.
So
I guess my point is, you know, in terms of a percentage, what you try to do is, you know, where maybe you're in the middle of triathlon season,
mm-hmm.
your week might be 20% of your time is spent swimming and
right.
maybe 50% of your time is spent on the bike and 30% of your time is spent on the
right.
run.
Right.
But in the off season, if you're focusing on doing marathons and such, now maybe swimming is only 10% of your total time. Biking might be 20% of your time, and 70% of your time would be spent running.
Right. And
even though your volumes in total hours is down.
Right,
maybe
because you can't run as long as you can ride.
Exactly. So you're doing 10 to 12 hours, let's say, now to prepare for your marathon, whereas when you're getting ready for your Ironman, I'm guessing
you're
probably going to be 20 hours, right?
20 plus,
yeah.
Yeah,
you might be doing twice the number of
oh,
hours.
Oh, absolutely, but you're not beating yourself up.
Right, and then the percentages of what you're doing are going to change as well.
Exactly, so you see what I'm saying here. It's a
yeah.
very unique dilemma. Well, not really a dilemma. It's a challenge for triathletes to get just the right balance. And, you know, of course, I have to take into account the fact that, you know, I've got mechanical issues. I have a hip that might scream at me if I put too many hours. In fact, today I did some water running. In my next couple of weeks, I'm going to be doing some of my running in the water
yeah.
just to get myself geared up. But I think that I feel confident and comfortable at this point, 2 weeks out,
yeah.
with where I am. I don't feel like, maybe I should have done more running. I feel like if I had, I might be injured. You know, I think there's a fine line that you have to draw.
You have to listen to your body.
You have to listen to your body. But, you know, we looked at these running charts, and so you think I can do a marathon faster than I think I can do a marathon.
Yeah. She's referring to these tables that you can find online.
The VDOT numbers.
Yeah, your VDOT. And so since she did a 136 half marathon, according to this, she should be able to do a 323 full marathon. Now the course is different, the weather is different.
Absolutely. And
there's
New York
a lot
City
of factors
is
that come into
very
that.
Crowded.
Yeah.
You know?
So
and I wanna have the experience too, you know.
Yeah, so but you know, I'm thinking that's totally reasonable. I mean that's your half marathon pace was 7:22. 7:46 is 24 seconds a mile. That's a lot of extra time.
Yeah, I could practically be like greeting people on the side of the street.
I don't know about that. I think you're going to be moving the whole way, but I think you've got it in you. Absolutely.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
It's interesting because when I did the 136 and a half, that was in February, and I'd been doing a lot of riding at that point too. I really do think a lot of riding helps your running. I don't know. You know, I think it, you don't want to fatigue yourself, but I think in terms of not beating your body up, you get more bang for your buck with cycling. What do you think? And that's why I'm counting on these cycling, these spin classes that I've been teaching.
Yeah.
To,
well, especially as we get older, the running is just so punishing.
It
you
is.
Know, it just really kicks your butt. So I think you certainly get cardiovascular, help
benefits,
when you,
yeah.
You know, when you bike, but you get leg strength, you get good core strength. You know, it helps everything.
Yeah.
So I definitely think you benefit from the cycling.
One other thing I've really been working on too is my core strength for running, because I think, and you can attest to this, having just done the Ironman, I think when you're running, you really need to use your core, especially when you start getting tired. Do you find that if you don't have a strong core, your whole gait kind of starts to fall apart? Have you ever seen that happen in runners?
I've never had that happen to me, but you know, frankly, I didn't do much weight training until just a couple of years ago. You know, I mean, I didn't do anything. So it's really just been within the last couple of years that I've been doing all the right stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know. But, yeah, so I can't say firsthand from that. All I know is that, you know, the first marathon that I ever finished was L.A., and I think that was 80. What year was that? I moved here. I think it was 86 the first time I finished, you know, and I trained for that one. You know, I had a good training program, and mm-hmm. it took me up to 60 miles.
Woo!
But I wasn't doing any swimming,
anything else. That's all you were doing.
That's
was
all
running.
I focused
and,
on.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was talking
and
about.
I worked my way
yeah.
up to 60 miles, but you know, I hadn't done any strength training. It was just strictly running.
Yeah.
And
how'd you do?
Kicked my butt. Well, my goal is to finish in 4 hours.
Yeah.
And I finished in 3 hours, 59 minutes, and 16 seconds.
I love it. He comes in. He does it.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I got to say, and no offense to anybody out there who is strictly a runner. I mean, obviously, I love running. I come from a running background. But, you know, marathons just hurt like heck.
Yeah.
They really, I feel like I am more sore after a marathon than I am after I do an Ironman. And that's so weird because you do a marathon in the Ironman. But it's just a different level of intensity.
That's it. It's all about the intensity.
It,
you know, you're shooting for a 7:46 marathon.
Oh, no, now you said that. Now people are going to think I really am shooting
for 7:46. Well, we're going to watch for you. And,
I'm shooting
the day, we're going to see how you're doing.
I'm shooting for 7:55. That's my, what did you call it? My, not my goal, but like my throwaway goal.
Your fallback position.
That's my fallback goal.
Yeah. But I think you're going to do better than that. But
that's hard.
It's hard. And I totally agree with you. You know, after, you know, 2.4 mile swim, 112 mile bike, you don't have the legs to do a 7:46 marathon.
I don't. You might.
Yeah,
some other people
around
here.
Obviously, I don't because I didn't. But you don't have the legs for that.
No.
You know, so is the will's there, but the legs aren't cooperating.
They're
so
just
when you're done with your Ironman, I totally agree. I don't know if I want to go dancing after an Ironman, but I can barely walk after a marathon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Barely. You see people. It's like the marathon shuffle. They're everybody's. You know, limping all over it. Here's what it's going to look like in New York City. And once again, no offense to any pure runners out there, but I always laugh because it was like this in Boston too. Okay, you know, the runners have a look. Triathletes, I always say it, triathletes are sexy, good-looking people. They're like, they're just, you know, they're very well-balanced. They've got great bodies, the whole bit. The runners, tend to be more, okay, the guys are wearing the high-waisted jeans, and they're wearing a this is out to dinner. See? You already know. They got the high-waisted jeans. They've got some sort of a running race t-shirt on, and they're wearing their running shoes out to dinner. It's all over. It's going to be all over New York City. I'm just like it was in Boston. I just know it. And then the funny thing is, in Boston, I don't know if you've even done it. Have you done Boston?
I haven't done Boston.
Okay. Everybody, there are people who wear their medals for like days. I am not kidding. I've never seen anything like it. This would be like, could you imagine getting on a plane? Well, I shouldn't say this. Maybe you did. Maybe you left Kona.
Maybe I was on the plane with my high-waisted jeans and my Iron Man.
Did you have your medal on around your neck?
Yeah, for like a week after.
Oh, God. Did you really? No, I know you didn't. I know
I didn't.
You brought it in here in a bag.
As soon as I get my medal, it goes right into my bag. I don't even put it on after the race.
It's this phenomenon that is unique to runners. And like I said, I'm a runner. I love them all. I embrace it. But it's kind of embarrassing. You know, I'm getting on the plane in Boston, okay, and I'm almost embarrassed to even be wearing my Boston Marathon
shirt.
Not my shirt, but my windbreaker. You know, I really like the windbreakers, and I actually use them. But I thought, I kind of look like a bragger. I just felt like a little weird about, and Pete goes, just wear it. You know, you bought it, wear it to the airport. So I'm feeling kind of self-centered. And then I show up at the airport, and there's people with medals from the race 4 days ago around their neck. Anyway, it's, I don't know, it's strange. But someone did tell me if you wear your medal in New York, you get cheap drinks at the bars. So I'm going to try that.
I'll tell you what, I'd wear my medal then.
I
would absolutely do it.
I'm going to try it out. And okay, I've got compression socks in my after bag.
Yeah.
Did you put compression socks?
You don't wear them when you're running?
I don't. Do you?
I don't even own a pair.
I have an extra pair.
Yeah, like our legs are so much alike.
I have an extra pair I can give to you. In fact, I loaned them to a guy, and he gave them. In our Y Tri Club, and then he came to a race, and he was wearing a different pair. And I said, what's wrong with the ones I loaned you? He goes, well, they were white because they were kind of girly looking. So he went out and bought black ones. I didn't realize that white. What do you think about those things?
I don't know. I've never tried them.
Yeah,
I think that there are so many things in our sport that are mental that don't really benefit you in any way. But if they benefit you from a mental standpoint and you think you recover faster or you think that you have less pain.
And you have an extra $80.
Or whatever it takes, you know, it's like, run out, buy that new Cervelo P4, you know.
If that's going to make you feel better.
If that's going to make you feel faster, go for it.
If you've got the means by which to do it, I suppose. And Chrissy Wellington said that, you know, in an interview right around Kona. She said, you know, there's just so many gadgets out there. People can really go overboard, and it's the engine that really counts. But you know what ticks me off about those compression socks is, if people have those on, you can't see their age on their leg.
Yeah, that bums me out.
Yeah, that bums me out. So we need to come up with a USAT rule about that. What are we going to do?
I agree.
Yeah, we're going to have to put it somewhere else.
You have to cut a little hole in your compression socks.
We're going to put it somewhere else on the socks. So. Well, anyway, is there any other advice you have to give me? If you want me to taper?
I think you do.
Coach to coach?
I think
I've got a good taper.
I think it's great to, you know, in the off season, I think it's great just to do what you feel, you know?
Absolutely.
I just think that, you know, it's like, oh, you know what? I get my son every other week, you know? So on the off weeks, I'll wake up in the morning and I get up pretty early. I get up early and it's like, I don't have my son. Let's just go for a nice, long, easy ride.
Just for the heck of it.
You know, I'm going to ride down to Carlsbad and back, you know? And it's just, I gauge it more on just how I feel that that day. And I really enjoy that, you know?
Yeah.
Not having to stick to a schedule and not having to go at any particular pace or whatever.
Right.
But I'm so accustomed now to training 7 days a week that if even in the off season, if I'm not doing something every day, I feel like I'm missing something. But I don't feel like I have to do any distance or any intensity or whatever. Right. It's more just fun.
Do something. Yeah, just have fun.
Yeah.
Because you know, people like us, we need those endorphins. We need to get out and have fun.
But I don't. You know, frankly, because I'm not. I don't train for events in the off season. Like I won't train or taper for a half marathon. We do it every year. I mean, the gang that I hang around with, you know, we'll still go for a 100-mile ride on Saturday
and then do a half marathon
on the next day, you know,
and still win.
Yeah, well, I don't remember exactly what I did the day before the Orange County Half Marathon, but I know I did a long bike ride.
Yeah,
you know, and I know I trained hard that entire week.
Yeah,
you know, so I just that's how I
that's
work.
How you roll.
But now, frankly, someday I would like to do the Boston Marathon because I've never done it, and
it's
fun
to do.
I don't think I'll have any problem qualifying.
Oh, of course,
for
you probably
it.
Already have qualified.
No, because I don't do marathons. Yeah. But I'd like to do that sometime. And if
here's what you do: you do a half marathon and you qualify for New York.
Yeah.
Then you go to New York, and at New York you qualify for Boston. This is how I do it, folks. I only do marathons where I'm going to qualify for a special marathon that I want to do.
And in that case, like you're doing New York,
right?
I would taper for that. I would train to that, and I would taper for that because that would be an important race for me to do well at because I'm trying to qualify.
Because you're trying to, if you're going to have to do a marathon to go do it.
I love that idea, by the way.
I know. Love that idea. I've got to figure it out.
I'll have to look. You probably don't know what my qualifying time for half
your qualifying time to get to Boston.
No, for New York.
For New York.
What would I have to do at a half?
Well, my friend Craig did a 3:22 full. Oh, for a half, you would still be there. What did you say?
I did a 1:32.
Oh God, yes. Oh,
okay,
yeah.
So that would qualify me for New York.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, maybe I'll go to New York.
Maybe you already qualified.
Maybe I'll go to. Actually, I'm doing the Silverman.
I mean for next year. I think it's good for. I think your qualifying time is good for 2 years.
Oh, really?
I don't know. You have to look it up.
But I love that idea of doing a half marathon to qualify for New York, and then doing well at New York, well enough to
and
do
having
Boston.
A blast. And there you go. You've done two of the most
premier races in the world.
The premier races. I mean, I don't necessarily feel like I need to go do Chicago. A lot of people do Chicago because it's fast and flat and they use it as a qualifier for Boston.
Yeah.
I mean, I did San Francisco 1 year to qualify for Boston because that's a cool place to go and do a marathon. I don't feel like I need to do Chicago. So that's what you do.
You don't like the Midwest?
I'm not a big
fan.
I'm
from the Midwest.
I know you're from the Midwest. I like people from the Midwest. My brother lives near Chicago. So, yes, I love people from the Midwest, Indiana, Chicago, all those places.
Yeah, great steaks.
Yes, they are. I'm from Pennsylvania, you know, so absolutely. But if you're going to do a marathon, if you're going to suffer through it, do the big ones. You know, do the ones that are, I can't even fathom 45,000 people all being there. But I'll tell you what I am going to do when I finish. I'm going to get my dry clothes bag and, you know, get myself somewhat cleaned up, put on my compression socks, and then I'm going to have my cowbell in my dry clothes bag.
You're going to stay out there until the last person comes in?
No, I am not going to stay out there until the last person comes in, but I am going to be out there cheering. I'm going to just kind of work my way. We're staying in a hotel fairly close to the finish, probably, I don't know, 8 blocks south or something. So we're going to work our way down along the run route because if I'm not racing, I love to cheer.
Yeah.
It's just going to be such a phenomenal experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait.
Well,
I'm going to rest up. So anyway, any other tips? Is that all?
That's all I got.
You guys, if anybody has tips or questions or comments, contact us. Tell them how, Ron.
Yeah, let us know. You can reach me at ron@triathica.com. Our website's 3Ws, triathica.com.
By the way, I liked your newsletter this week. And you can reach me at coachsbr.com or coachsbr@gmail.com. So there we have it. Keep on running, swimming, cycling, having fun, eating pumpkin cookies, things like that. Okay, try chatter. Over and out.
See you in a week.
Yes.